May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable to you, O God, our rock, our Savior, our Redeemer, and at the same time, our dear friend. Amen. Good morning again. I like the way Dan started, you know, good morning. And it is good to be here. I love that. And today, I love to welcome, this should be in the celebration, but Elaine's daughter is here, Heather, and also Erica's friend. Her name? Ashley. All right, so we welcome you.
Heather's my daughter also.
and Jerry. Oh, Jerry and Elaine's daughter, see? All right, you're listening, Jerry, good for you. All right, so now when I came here in the U.S., the first thing that, because I taught Sunday school, the first thing that I learned from the kids was do a little action, one, two, three, do a little action, one, two, three, is that correct? Do a little action, one, two, do a little action, follow me. Do you know, how many knows that song? No? Somebody? Everybody follow me. Follow, follow, follow me. Follow, follow, follow me. Follow, follow, follow me. Everybody follow me. Who knows that? Oh my, I'm in trouble now. Okay, so whatever the leader says, everybody follows, like Father Abraham, you know, and then they follow, right? And so there is something with following, and today's gospel talks about that. All right. Today I prepared slides for us during worship. So slide, please. So there is no slide. Okay. So we always hear about Galilee, right? We always hear about Galilee. So this is the map, all right? So let us have a short, all right? So Jesus was born where? Where was Jesus born? We sing that, oh little town of Bethlehem, right? So there, Bethlehem is here, all right? So Jesus was born in Bethlehem. So, all right. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. So we sing, oh little town of Bethlehem. There, it's a small unpopular place. All right? In the town, this is Judea and there is Bethlehem. And then, what did the angel, you know, when Jesus was born, and then the wise men visited Jesus, but then, an angel said, do not stay there because Herod is planning something. Okay? So from Bethlehem, they went to Egypt is southern, more south, okay? And that is where Pastor Yunki grew up in Egypt, right? All right, so I heard that story. So from Bethlehem, they went south. And then Jesus, you know, that's why I love the bumper sticker. When I'm driving, I love to see the cars in front of me, but not the ones cutting me, okay? Just the ones in front of me. And then there is a bumper sticker that says, Jesus, my Jesus is a refugee, all right? You know that? My Jesus is a refugee because he got no permanent address. He is NPA. In our country, that is popular. NPA, no permanent address. From born in Bethlehem, went to Egypt, and then grew up in Nazareth. See? And then baptized somewhere here. This is the Sea of Galilee, where is the focus of our text today, where Dan brought us. This is the Sea of Galilee, the one that is blue. And so this long line is the Jordan River. And this is where John the Baptist baptized Jesus, in one of these places. I don't know. No one knows the specific place, but it's somewhere in this level. So from Bethlehem, they went to the south. Jesus traveled to the south, went to Nazareth, grew up there, and then baptized here. drink the Jordan River, and then lived in Capernaum. And today's text, Jesus talks about, you know, the Gospel of Matthew talks about that Jesus left Nazareth and went to the northern part. Jesus moved here near the Sea of Galilee because John was arrested by King Herod. You know, Herod was not very popular. Was notoriously popular. And John the Baptist was beheaded later on. Remember John the Baptist? Pastor Eugene talked about John the Baptist baptizing Jesus. John the Baptist baptizing Jesus and preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So this is where Jesus did the first part of his ministry. It is interesting. Remember last week in the Gospel of John, after baptism, the next day, John the Baptist told Simon and another disciple, told Andrew and another disciple, "Look, there is Jesus walking, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world." And that is according to the Gospel of John. And then Andrew went to Simon. "Simon, Simon, come on, I found the Messiah. Go with me. Let's go, and I want you to meet him." And then they went. And Jesus said, "Simon, from now on you will be called Peter, from upon you. You will be the, you know, you meaning rock and the start of the church." But then in the Gospel of Matthew, there is a different story. So why? How come they are different? How come they're not the same? How come? I don't know. The Gospel of John, the author, tells a different story. The Gospel of Matthew tells another story. The Gospel of Matthew tells that after Jesus was baptized, Jesus went into the wilderness and fasted for 40 days. And there the devil tempted him, and he won. Jesus won. And then the start of his ministry, looking for disciples. Different, huh? But what I want us to get is that Jesus was really baptized by John, and Jesus really appointed disciples. Okay? All right. Those are the two important things. And so, can we move to the next one? And that was okay, let's move. That is also the same map, but it's more complicated. Okay, let's go to the next slide. Yes, this is when I went with Bishop Weaver and rode in a boat to the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee is so peaceful. It is so beautiful. And you know what was fun? Okay, the next slide. See, I saw banana plants nowadays. It's not a tree. They said banana is not a tree. So banana is a plant. They, around the Sea of Galilee is a fertile land. There are so many deserts. You know, Palestine is surrounded by so many deserts. But the Sea of Galilee, because of that sea, around it is a fertile land. So that many, and today, I'm so happy to see that they plant so many bananas there. Huh? And so this is the center. This Sea of Galilee was the center of Jesus' ministry. And and we know that in the next slide, all right, Jesus right away knew that the ministry that he decided to follow, the calling that he decided to follow, cannot happen on his own. He was called, but then he knew that deep in within his heart, he needs people to be with him. And so, while walking along the Sea of Galilee, that beautiful sea, you know, Jesus loves to walk. Jesus loves to walk. Who among us loves to walk? He walked and walked, and from Capernaum, he walked to that Sea of Galilee. And when he saw Simon and Andrew fishing, take note, Simon and Andrew were fishing here, and Jesus called them, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of people. John didn't tell it that way, right? John didn't tell it that way. John said to us, Jesus said to Andrew, come and see. Come and see. When Andrew said, where are you staying? Here in this particular gospel, Simon and Andrew were together fishing, and then Jesus saw them and said, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of people. And the next thing that happened is, all right, so they left their nets, huh? They left their fishing nets and followed Jesus. And at the same time, you know, Zebedee has two sons. What are their names? Huh? So Simon and Andrew are accounted already. JJ. James and John were helping their father mend their nets and said the same thing. Follow me and I will make you fishers of people. Follow me. All right? And so immediately, right away, without second thought of, oops, wait, I'm hungry. If I am that person and I'm hungry, oops, wait, I'm hungry, I have to eat first. Right? Oh, oops, wait, I have to do something in my house. Oh, wait, I have to. There is always a reason why we cannot follow. But they left immediately and followed Jesus. Simon, Andrew, James, and John, all fishermen, immediately followed Jesus, who is, okay, and the next one. So, what is this all about? My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this is a radical calling. Jesus models a radical calling. Jesus was a carpenter, by trade. His father, Joseph, was a carpenter. Jesus called fishermen. They have nothing in common. Water, wood. Although the boat is wood, okay? And maybe made by a carpenter, but they have different vocations. They have different, one is a plumber, one is an electrician, or one is a farmer, one is a fisherman. It's a radical calling. Jesus models how it is for us to come and invite people who are not like us. Jesus would like us to invite people who are not like us. Wow, that means something. Jesus would like to invite us, not only those people who goes to church on a Sunday, but also those people who needs to know Christ. Who needs to know Christ so that there can be hope and there can be light and there can be life abundant that we are experiencing, that they can also experience. So this is a radical calling. Jesus would like us not to only invite our family members, thank God, Jerry and Elaine, invited Heather. Jesus would like us to invite not only family members and even my brother. My brother is here. He will be upset with me. I call this attention. There is my brother, my youngest brother there. But Jesus would like us to get out of that familiar zone, or from the ones that we know, the world that we know, get out and be with people and let them come and see. Come. I want you to know Jesus. Introduce Jesus. Introduce Jay to them. Okay? And it's a radical calling, not only because we are called to be moving from familiarity to unfamiliar territory, but also because the call comes anytime. Anytime. Imagine when Pastor Yunki mentioned, Pastor, the kids are saying, well, we are so young to respond to Jesus' call. Actually, Samuel was a boy. Samuel was serving in the temple, one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament, Samuel, when he was a teeny tiny boy. Maybe just like, who is a tiny boy here? CJ. Just like CJ. When Samuel was serving in the temple, and the voice of God came, he didn't know it was the voice of God. He thought it was Eli. So he went to Eli, but Eli said, "No, that is God calling you." So, anytime in his sleep, he was called by God and talked to him. "Oh, I have a plan for Israel. I have a plan for you." And then, let us remember, you know, these fishermen, Simon, Andrew, James, and John, they were catching fish. That's their job. They were doing their work. In the midst of their work, Jesus calls them. Jesus calls them. There is hope. There is a better life. I want you to come and join me in this. And then, remember Paul. Paul, before Paul became a very prominent person in the New Testament, Paul was the persecutor of Christians. He killed the Christians. But then when God called him while he was riding a horse, and then there was light, and then, "Who are you, Lord?" He knew the one who was calling him was God. And then he changed. He changed. And then who was that disciple who was under the fig tree? Maybe, who was that? Nathaniel, under the fig tree. I don't know what he's doing under the fig tree, but maybe waiting for the fig to fall, or maybe just because it's so hot. He was there standing. And then Jesus knew and said, "I have known you when you were there under the fig tree." So the call of Jesus comes anytime. That is the mystery. And we cannot say, "Okay, now Jesus, call me." The call, or "God, call me." The call comes anytime. Unexpected. In the least places, in the least time that we thought about it. So, get ready. And then, the radical calling is not a personal call. It's not only a personal call, but the calling for a group of people. The call is for us together. When God called the people Israel, it was a call for a particular group of people. And then God is still calling today. Jesus is calling today. Good Shepherd United Methodist Church, come, let us do something in the name of God. Where is God calling us? What is God calling us? God is calling us, and we need to know where and what. And we need to know where and what. And last Thursday, during the finance meeting, Leonora, in her heart, said, "In my heart, I personally believe we need to work on balancing our budget." You think Congress is the only place balancing the budget, or the town of Malden is the only one. We are called to be good financial stewards too. And we are called through these meetings that we have. Okay, it's now time. We have to tighten some belts, some finances, to be able to balance the budget. That we are able to tighten our belt, but still provide quality of service to the people in the church and outside the church in the name of Jesus Christ. We are called. We need to discern where and how. And this radical calling is... Next time I need to push the button here, huh? Okay, we are working on that. Push the button here so I can just push and push and push and click. We are called to repent. All right. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. These are the words, exact words of John the Baptist that Jesus decided to adopt too. The kingdom of God is happening, is at hand whenever we are called to repentance. Whenever we open our hearts to repent. And one powerful example of this is during our New England annual conference at Gordon College, during the time of Bishop Susan Hunsinger, the first female bishop of the United Methodist Church New England Conference, the whole New England Conference, 1,000 members of the New England Conference, both clergy and laity, gathered together and made that call to confession about the bad things that were done to our Native American Indians who were here, the first settlers of this place that we call United States of America. Powerful. We are not only called to repent personally as a church, but also as a conference and also as a nation. As a nation, we are called to repent. And it's a radical calling because to bring the kingdom of God, to bring the kingdom of God is a work that sometimes we enjoy and sometimes we might not enjoy. But to bring the kingdom of God where it is needed, you know, because you remember this story from the Bible? There will come a time that the Lion King, Simba, like those who like I love the Circle of Life. What's the name of that movie? Lion King, right? I love that. But that is the dream. That is in the Bible. The kingdom of God is when the lion and the lamb sit together. And the lion will not eat lambi. When the lion and the lamb can sit together without being eaten by one or the other. And there is, when there are people in Africa, there is that 45 seconds, every 45 seconds, one child is killed by malaria mosquito. We will not rest. We wanted to bring the kingdom of God there. That's why we are doing as a conference the Imagine No Malaria. That the bishop is encouraging each one of us, please sponsor one mosquito net, which costs $10, so that people can sleep under the mosquito net. Imagine all of us enjoying our rooms, our homes, without a mosquito, or without mosquito nets, because our windows have screen. We enjoy the comfort. We have something to spray when there are pests around us. We are so blessed. We are so spoiled to experience that. But in Africa, they need to get mosquito nets. Or one child dies every 45 seconds. We need to bring the kingdom of God, not only here with us, but also to where it is needed. Imagine no malaria. Imagine no malaria. And to bring the kingdom of God, says Nelson Mandela, he passed away, but he left these words. One of the great leader of the world. Poverty is not an accident, like slavery and apartheid. It is man-made and can be removed by the actions of human beings. Poverty is not an accident, like slavery and apartheid. It is man-made and can be removed by the actions of human beings. We are called to bring the kingdom of God where it is needed. Not only in our family, not only in this church, not only in the modern community, but it spreads. If we can spread it around the world, so be it. Like the Operation Christmas Child, that those gift boxes were received by people, by children from India, by the children in the Philippines, by the children somewhere around the world. We bring the kingdom of God. And the last, is this the last one? And I just want to end with this. Remember the nativity scene that I was put on that table, and I was beginning to put them together and put them away, bring them home. And then, you know, when this is the stand and there is Joseph, Mary, and baby Jesus, and all the animals, and all the, and the three wise men. And then I was thinking last night, how will I end this reflection or sermon that I have for you tonight? Last night I was thinking about that. And today I just wanted to end with this. When I was trying to put it away, it says, there is something written at the back, or actually it's in front. Love is the light of Christmas. Love is the light of Christmas. And I just want to leave that with you. If love is the light of Christmas, and that love comes from God through Jesus Christ, may we always remember that the calling comes from God, and we can respond. We can respond to God in a loving way, not out of fear, but out of love, because God is our God. And remember what Isaiah said. Isaiah said, before even we were born, you were born, I have known you, and I have called you by name. Let us respond in love. And if there is fear because we don't know what to do, remember the responsive reading that we have today. Our God is our light and our salvation. Whom shall we fear? The Lord will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. From Psalms. And remember the mother hen. I like us to end with that image. When we are called, we are not left alone. When we say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, yes. When we say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, yes. I follow you. I will follow where you go, I go. Where you move, I move. I will follow. That was the music that was led to us by Pastor Yung Ken Michelle. Look at the mother hen. The mother hen will not leave the chick unattended. When we are in trouble, the mother hen will stretch out her wings and cover us, and cover the chicks with her wings under her protection. That is our God of love. Let us respond also in love. Amen.